Hello and welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast. I'm Robin, and with me today are Martin.
Hi, Robin.
Hello, Martin. And Alex.
Hi, Robin.
Hello, Alex. Not your trademark hello there. I thought that was becoming a thing.
No, that's all right. I haven't done that for a while now.
As always, every week we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural in the news, and we look at a slightly older conspiracy as well, which this week will be Martin.
No,
you did last week.
Wrong.
This week will be Alex.
That's correct. Yes.
That is correct.
So I tell you what we're going to be looking at. We are going to be delving into a sinister case involving murder, espionage, and treason.
It's very mysterious.
A global conspiracy that stretches right to the heart of the White House.
Whoa, okay.
It's even got a cool James Bond name. We've covered that on the channel before, but not for like five years.
A long time ago, yeah.
It was one of our first videos. I talk, of course, about the octopus.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a really good one. I really like it. I think because it sounds like James Bond.
It's been a very long time since I looked at that. I'm excited to hear, hear about that. And Martin, you'll be looking at a news item?
I will. I'll be looking... Oh, my news item is depressing this week. It really is. It's looking at the situation in Yemen, the dire situation in Yemen. And the fact that it probably could be avoided if we were all just a little bit more...
Humane.
Yeah. I'm talking about our governments, really, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit depressing, but if you haven't, you know, if you don't know about the situation there, it's enlightening at the very least.
Important, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make sure to end on that once. So we've got something to think about. No, we won't. I'll follow that up, actually, with a slightly more optimistic one about NASA, who've recently announced that they'll be forging a path through the stars, which is quite exciting. The biggest development in NASA, I think, for a very long time. But as always, if you want to catch up on our old episodes, then you can find them on iTunes and Spotify and Audioboom, and also on YouTube, where this will be going as a video. So if you can see us, hello.
very good.
Right. Excellent.
But first, please, Alex, regale us with the octopus.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, we did this on the channel in 2013, I think. So,
man, I think I was a toddler.
Okay, so it's a case involving murder, espionage, and treason. A case sparked from one journalist's death that is so far-reaching it stretches right to the heart of government. US government. But it's a global thing. It connects loads of classic American scandals together in one unified conspiracy.
Ooh.
I refer, gentlemen, of course... to the octopus. I just love saying it like that. So, okay. In 1991, investigative journalist Daniel Casolaro was found dead in a hotel in Martinsburg, West Virginia. He was found in the bathtub with his wrists cut a dozen times, between 10 to 12 times, and a suicide note which was withheld from the family for several days.
No, surely no one cuts himself 12 times committing suicide.
Yeah, sounds a bit strange, doesn't it?
Well, if you think that's interesting, it gets... The theory goes a lot deeper. So the authorities quickly ruled his death as a suicide and embalmed his body before contacting the relatives.
What?
Mr. Casolaro's family and friends said he had told them he was going to Martinsburg to meet a source for a story that he had been pursuing for more than a year. A story about a global conspiracy that tied together several scandals and alleged scandals. The Iran-Contra affair, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, and the Justice Department's alleged theft of software from a computer company called Inslaw. Is that how you pronounce it? Inslaw?
If that's how it's spelled, yeah.
The Inslaw
affair? Yeah, I think I know the one you mean, yeah.
And they claimed that despite the views of the local authorities and the findings of an autopsy, Mr. Casolaro might have been slain because of what he discovered.
Mysterious.
So his investigation began with this IT software company, Inslaw. It was the Inslaw affair during the Bush administration, I want to say. Bush Senior.
91?
Yeah. Well, it was in the in the 80s that this happened. And basically, this was a story where a company called Inslaw accused the Justice Department of stealing software that the company had designed, and this piece of software was called the Prosecutor's Management Information System, or PROMIS, which is much easier to much easier to say.
You know those acronyms? Can you just add letters on just to make sure it spells something?
Just to make it an acronym?
Yeah, definitely.
So this piece of software was actually very important. And it was a data tracking system decades ahead of its time. And the US government at this point had their software was really outdated in the Justice Department. And this software basically allowed them to allow every department, so the CIA, the FBI, all of them to communicate together to track criminals, basically. And what Inslaw accused the US government of doing was they accused them of installing a Trojan horse virus in the software and then selling that software to foreign governments so that they could spy on foreign governments.
So foreign governments would use the software thinking that they could track that they, others. They're being spied on themselves.
Exactly. Wow. And this was a decades long court case in the '80s. It was a massive massive deal.
But sorry to interrupt, but wasn't that one of the things Edward Snowden kind of confirmed? I thought that was a thing. He confirmed the NSA do that. Didn't he? Right, okay.
Well, I mean...
I'm really jumping the gun here. Maybe this will be revealed by Alex in a moment.
I mean, I don't say that, but I mean, the idea that this story is not very well known, so they got away with it if it was happening.
So,
there's no reason to suspect they wouldn't be doing it today.
Nothing's changed.
30 years,
And with the Snowden leaks, the main revelation is that everyone was spying.
Exactly.
So this is kind of like...
Leading up to that, I guess. This is a precursor story to that. But it shows how the US Justice Department definitely, if they had the technology, definitely would have wanted to spy on everyone. And during this decades-long court case, compelling evidence emerged that supported this claim. Former Mossad Deputy Director Rafi Eitan swore that the US and Israeli intelligence conspired to sell this software to foreign governments. That was sworn testimony from him. And then the story goes deeper because after Casolaro Casolaro allegedly stumbled on an international web of espionage, drugs, and arms sales.
Wow.
All involving the government during the Bush and Reagan era. So he accused the Reagan campaign of conspiring with the Iranian government to delay the release of hostages during the campaign to delay the release of US hostages in order to destroy Jimmy Carter's re-election bid during the campaign. That's what they accused him of getting, how he got elected, basically, because he conspired with the Iranian government to delay the release of hostages until after he was sworn in. And then as well, he connected it to the CIA's alleged narcotic smuggling with the Nicaraguan Contras. So it's all connected.
Yes.
And he wrote this theory, basically, called the Octopus. And it's how all these governmental tentacles stretch into every fiber of our beings, basically.
Yeah.
That sounds weird. Good name for it.
It's just a great name for it, isn't it?
I mean, it sounds, slimy sounds like a James Bond villain, doesn't it?
I was going to say, I think Spectre was taken, so...
The question remains, though. Was he killed by the US government for knowing too much? Or was this, did he have grandiose ideas of himself as, a champion of free thought, thinking himself this amazing investigative journalist, and actually he was, just had a disturbed mind? We may never know. But there's some interesting facts that I'd like to point out.
Oh, yeah.
So this pertains to, suspicious circumstances surrounding his death. So Wendy Weaver, who dated him for 7 years, she said that Danny hated the sight of blood and he didn't like to be seen naked. He was found naked in the bathtub with slit wrists. And she said, I think it was her or someone else said that if he'd killed himself, he would have jumped off the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Very specific.
A very easy.
Yeah. Apparently his housekeeper had said that he'd been receiving threatening phone calls for weeks, and he'd told friends and family about this as well.
Yeah.
He also allegedly told his brother before heading to Virginia that if he was to die in an accident, not to believe it, the story.
Wow.
Now that is something else, isn't it?
That is.
And also, according to his brother, none of his notes were found with his body. So none of the notes of this case were found.
So they don't have them?
No.
Huh.
So oh, I think suspicious. everything that was known about this story was known because he was talking to an agent and telling his friends and family about the story. But none of his actual notes were recovered, I don't think.
I mean, that's pretty compelling.
Mm. So yeah, that's the theory. What do you think? Do you think he was onto something?
It'd be interesting to know when you said about him potentially having a disturbed mind.
Mm.
It'd be interesting to know. Like from those testimonies, it doesn't seem like no one says, oh, he definitely wouldn't have killed himself. Mm. It's he didn't like blood. He didn't like being found naked.
Well, interestingly, a lot of his friends and family were really shocked about this, obviously.
Of course.
But they did say that he didn't seem suicidal. I mean, it's difficult to tell, isn't it?
Yes.
And this is a time period where people didn't really talk about mental illness as much. Mm. so, yeah, to paint another picture, however, there are reasons or an incentive why he might have taken his own life. So according to his agent, his work was nowhere near being published. And he or she, I don't know their name, but they called it unprofessional, the work that they'd seen.
Right.
He was also in quite a bit of debt at the time.
Okay.
His career also, he was an investigative journalist, but he hadn't had any huge, you know, breaking stories.
Except this one.
He'd written some stories for local news.
Yeah.
And he was a bit of an entrepreneur, but had to sell his business for a loss, I think. And then apparently the suicide note, which did emerge, which is suspicious that they withheld it for days, but it did eventually emerge, and it was apparently an apology that he'd written to his son from a failed marriage. So that does paint a little bit more of a bleak picture.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having said that, at the same time, it's a lot of people have failed businesses and failed marriages. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah. And apparently, according to all of his friends and family, he was the most upbeat, energetic guy. Really nice to be around.
Okay.
So it's a difficult one to tell.
Yeah. Particularly with so much distance from the events themselves.
Mm.
Unless you knew him, you wouldn't know exactly what he was like. Because as we know, lots of people with mental difficulties hide it very well.
Yeah.
Or emotional difficulties.
His brother was also a doctor. And he said that the autopsy allegedly showed prescription medication for anxiety in his blood. But apparently he'd never spoken to his brother about it. And his brother said, like, as far as he was aware, he wasn't suffering from depression or anxiety. But
I guess they could have made it look like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's easy to retroactively make it look like he was suicidal.
Yeah.
But actually, he could well have not been. And this would have, easy to cover up.
It's the circumstances of his death that seem very strange. For someone who hated blood and cut himself 12 times?
12 times.
That's crazy. And that's really determined as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's not just any old suicide. That's really determined.
Yes.
But also, you know, if he didn't like being seen naked, why would he be naked? In fact, isn't it a thing I thought about suicides? They tend to dress up.
I don't know that much about suicides.
Like, it's a, obviously, if you're in the bath, you tend to be naked in the bath. But I thought it was a thing that a lot of suicides tend to dress up nicely because they want to be, they want to die, but they want to be seen respectfully when they're found. That's just strange. And of course, if he's got no notes, then
it's got no notes.
Where did they go?
And also the fact that his housekeeper said he'd been receiving threatening phone calls.
Yeah.
He
warned his brother about, don't believe it if I die in an accident. That's suspicious.
Pretty foreboding. But then it could also be seen as a cry for help, you know?
True.
Maybe. I mean, someone that has an illness and paranoia or schizophrenia could definitely think that people are following them or wanting to attack them. And that could also be maybe linked to other issues.
What if he did commit suicide, but it's not because he had a problem, it's because of what he found out?
Him.
What if he found out something so disturbing
he couldn't deal with it?
He couldn't deal with it. Or felt there was no point even revealing it because it was just so.
Maybe. I mean, a lot of what he talks about is, like you brought up Edward Snowden, the more and more we find out about how extensive America's reach is with security and espionage, it's believable. It's a believable conspiracy, isn't it? So I think quite possibly he could have been onto something. He, you know, I tell you something, he's a whiz with marketing, though, because the octopus is a great name.
It's a great name.
It's very true.
And I believe someone said, isn't the NSA their symbol, like an octopus or something? Or like a...
I don't know.
That could be for something. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Check that. And I mean, what do you think, Martin? Do you think he's more likely to have committed suicide or have been murdered?
I think you always want to, as speaking about it as a conspiracy, you always want to believe that there was something potentially more. And even if he, I think if he was onto something, there would be reason for the US government, especially, but governments around the world to hush him up. Surely that only leads to more speculation. If they would have known that he was someone who was an investigative journalist, someone who potentially did have secrets, if he then turns up dead, it's much easier to dismiss someone who's alive as a crazy person, a mad person who's coming up with crazy theories than to kill them off. It almost adds to the speculation.
Yeah, but then the counterpoint to that is it remains speculation. Like right now, we have no idea of what proof he had.
Yes.
And we still don't know whether he committed suicide or was murdered.
Yes, yes.
There's still enough doubt there, right?
But I guess it could almost lead to others looking into these claims that he made.
True.
And so it leads to almost a fascination with him and his story and what he had potentially found.
I'd like to know what the thought process is behind the scenes. If, say, the government and the Secret Service decided to kill him and make it look like a suicide, that they must at some point weigh up the options and be like, do we let this person be perceived as a madman who might accidentally provide proof to people, or do we kill him?
Yeah. Like, it's got to be a certain point where they realize that killing this person is going to be better for us than letting him say what he's found out. Because at the end of the day, this has brought up a conspiracy, the fact that he committed suicide was killed. The attention that they would have got if he had been allowed to publish his story would have been worse. Also, just a follow-up. It wasn't the NSA I was thinking of. It was the National Reconnaissance Office had a mission coming up, and they made this logo. A giant octopus devouring the earth. With a logo, with a slogan, "Nothing is beyond our reach."
Wow.
A little bit tone deaf.
That's quite something.
That's scary.
Well, I'm reassured. As a citizen, I love to see that kind of thing.
But that was in 2013, so maybe it is part of the octopus and it's ongoing.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Man. Well, for those of us watching, for those of you watching us on YouTube, please let us know what you think of the octopus theory in the comments. Do you think the journalist was murdered? Do you think he committed suicide? Or more importantly, do you think what he found out is real or just a product of his own fantasy? Please let us know. And whilst we're on the topic of comments, shall we look at some of our favourite YouTube comments of the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, sure. Let's have a look. As we always say, reading these comments is just one of our favorite pastimes. they're great. Keep them coming. Gold Amazing. I can't actually remember what video this was on.
Okay.
This might have been on our chemtrails video, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
He says, these guys never agree with a conspiracy in all of their Conspiracy Files video.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to say to that? As someone who's been on quite a few of them.
I think.
I think the vast majority. There was a couple with...
Martin and me, yeah.
But there's been a couple that we found very interesting. The Are We Living in a Simulation one was pretty compelling to me.
Mm. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Could quite possibly.
Yeah. Like maybe she... Because we tend to do on the Conspiracy Files is we'll look at three theories related to a topic or three pieces of evidence relating to a topic.
Yeah.
And then we'll pick the one that we think is the most plausible.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means that inevitably we reject two of them.
Mm.
So maybe this person feels that we hate everything because the way we make those videos is we choose one over all the others to favor.
Yeah, so with that Chemtrails video, yeah. Spoilers if you haven't seen it.
Go watch it now.
The photographic evidence wasn't that compelling for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the last one.
It was that guy's testimony, wasn't it? And
the pilot testimony was not very compelling. However, the geoengineering projects that have happened in the past, the cloud seeding, yeah. the things that we see, quite a lot. That's compelling, and yeah. that's really.
And
good evidence.
We know it happened, and probably does happen. Governments engineer that, so yeah, that's one an example of one
I
that
don't we wrote
we
it
think
off.
Is true. Yeah. No, well, I can understand where they're coming from, though. A lot of the time, we do. We talk about stuff that we're not convinced by.
That's true.
Sadly, like ghosts, a lot of the evidence for that ghost stuff was pretty sketchy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's worth doing a follow-up with some, more compelling ghosts.
Yeah, we'll definitely return to that topic, I think. Yeah.
And also, it seems like with ghosts, it's very much almost personal experience.
Yeah.
Having a picture of ghosts is always going to lead to skepticism, isn't it? Because you can go, all right, camera trickery, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Does it actually look like a ghost? What's my interpretation of what a ghost actually looks like?
Yes.
There's so many things that you can discredit.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if you experience it yourself, it's a completely different story.
Maybe we need to go hunting for ghosts.
Mm.
Maybe we do.
Mm.
Exactly.
Maybe I don't know how we got there from this comment. But
I've got a similar kind of feedback comment. It's probably less room for discussion with this one, but on our, a few weeks ago, I made a video about called The Dark Origins of the Hound of the Baskervilles, I think, or The Dark Secret Behind That, about this theory that Arthur Conan Doyle did not write The Hound of the Baskervilles, or at the very least, he didn't come up with the story. And he nicked it from a friend of his who was a journalist who lived on Dartmoor, where the book is set, and later murdered him to cover up the fact that Conan Doyle did not write it himself. So this is the theory. There's not much proof for it. But Lizard King commented on the video.
Lovely name.
Addressing to us, "You are better than this. I rarely dislike your videos, but here we are."
Aww.
So firstly, thank you, Lizard King, for rarely disliking our videos. It's nice to know that most of the time you enjoy what we do.
Hmm.
Sad to say that there's always going to be a bit of a hit and miss when you're making as many videos as we do every year. I'd like to think they're all hits, but I guess some of them will miss. I'd also like to know what you don't like about that video, because from my perspective, I thought it was very interesting. Here's a theory someone has about Arthur Conan Doyle being a murderer and a plagiarist. But the evidence for it is what it is, and whether or not it's convincing is not my fault.
You can never please everyone, though. And I think with conspiracy theories, some people are going to be more interested in aliens. Some people are going to be interested in government conspiracies. Some people are going to be more interested in ghosts. You know, so I think you can't please everyone.
What are your favorite topics?
My favorite topics,
Like genre conspiracies. Ooh. Not just, well, you can say to write and produce, but also just to.
Personally,
look into yourself.
I mean, I have a permanent fascination with JFK. Just always the first thing I think about when I wake up in the mornings. Just like, hello, wife, JFK.
Sounds dodgy. But
yeah, JFK and everything surrounding him is. But I think, I guess, politics in general, and particularly American politics, because we know more about what America gets up to, because I guess they're a more open society, and or they're worse at keeping secrets. There's just been so many fascinating theories as well as proven conspiracies going on in the White House and around the White House. I find that very fascinating. But it's not necessarily my favorite, because things like the Atlof Pass, which we looked at last week, which you told us about, Martin, is, I love that kind of mystery story.
Yes.
An isolated incident which we can't ever know the answer to. I don't know, what about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I really like kind of true crimes and that kind of thing with lots of mysterious theories and, suspects, and you kind of got to work out who did it. Cluedo. Cluedo's my favorite conspiracy. I like the Tupac one, actually.
Mm.
I really
that is
that
a good one.
One.
Yeah.
Is he still alive? I don't think so. Probably not. but I like that topic. those kind of topics.
What's yours, Michael?
I quite like scandals. I remember the one that sticks out to me that we did a while ago was the Ford Pinto. When it's proven scandals where there's solid evidence for there being an actual conspiracy.
Yeah.
And we're able to just bring it to the masses about an event that a lot of people wouldn't have necessarily known about, where they could have recalled a lot of cars they knew were dangerous, especially with a massive brand like Ford.
Yeah.
But didn't, and people died as a result. And they did it for money.
Horrific.
And that's clear cut as well. So I do like those type, but also I like mysteries and mysterious deaths and all sorts. Yeah.
It's funny. I think my favorite, having said JFK, and he is up there, all the theories surrounding him, I think my favorite kind of isolated theory, conspiracy is Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
We've done probably far too many times on the channel, just because every year around the time I get excited about it and I look at it again. Because that's got everything. That's got royal scandal, it's got a whodunit murder mystery, and it's got this kind of Masonic supernatural possibility behind it. And of course, at the end of the day, it's unsolved and probably unsolvable. Although every year it seems there's some kind of new discovery which brings us closer to the truth or further away from the truth. Who knows?
It's also in London, which is always
which is handy. It's nice. It's on our doorstep.
You go to meet with someone and you go, that's where one of them was killed. And that's grim, but fascinating. But,
you know.
They're not too far away from me, in fairness.
Yeah.
Just a little walk away.
You live nearby.
Maybe I am Jack the Ripper. That wouldn't make sense.
one of the victims was born and grew up not far from where I live.
Really?
And one of the other victims is actually the great aunt of my dad's best school friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Catherine Eddowes was his great aunt, I think. Yeah. So that's a personal connection, which always keeps me interested. It's quite sad, really, because they've got this family photo of all of them. And we know their surname is Eddowes, so that's the connection. And one of them, presumably Catherine, has her face scratched out.
Oh, God.
And this photo was a prostitute. Yeah, the photo was taken before she died, but before she moved to London as a prostitute. So,
Wow.
So they're ashamed of her.
Yeah.
And it's sad as well, because it means you know she had a family.
Yeah.
Who could have supported her, but clearly weren't able to or weren't willing to. Well, that's always sad. But anyway, the royal scandal potential royal scandal with the Queen and everything is much more interesting.
There's always new theories with that one, isn't there?
Yeah.
I like the one that came out, I don't know if it was a few years ago, actually. But, you know, the man who had the hotel in America who... Had like a murder hotel.
H.H. Holmes,
Holmes.
There was a theory that he was Jack the Ripper and he came over to the UK... committed the grisly murders, you know, just on a holiday.
Yeah.
But to distract everyone from
that is premeditated.
Draw attention away.
Really, yeah.
Distracting by killing people somewhere else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Clever.
Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was quite a good one just because their handwriting matched up exactly or something.
Well,
I think that's
looking into that.
But yeah.
Yeah, I find that terrifying. The murder house or murder hotel, whatever it was.
Murder hotel.
Just the fiendishness of building a place that people couldn't escape from. On the one hand, it's ingenious and you're kind of like, I'm impressed, but also terrified and shocked that you could be that premeditated. It's not like you get these serial killers who kind of impulsively identify someone they're going to kill and then kill them. He's just like, I'm creating a murder house. You know? It's just disgusting.
And people are going to pay me to stay here and get killed.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
TripAdvisor reviews, there's none because everyone's dead.
Yeah.
5 stars because I survived. Speaking of things that are disgusting, Martin, you have a pretty tragic news story to look
at. I mean, it is disgusting, and more than disgusting, it's disgraceful, really.
Mm.
So yeah, guys, this is a really, really sad story, and one that probably hasn't got enough coverage. It's recently come to light because the situation's so bad, but it's been going on for like the last 3 years, and this is the Yemeni civil war.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, the fact that 85,000 children under the age of 5 have actually starved to death over the last 3 years due to the civil war, a report by Save the Children has found. And this is what makes it even worse, is that this is like a conservative estimate, so the figure may actually be much, much higher. And 1.3 million children have been affected by malnutrition over the last 3 years.
Wow.
So it's pretty terrible. So over 14 million people, which is half of Yemen's population, are actually at risk of famine. And the main reason for this is actually the Saudis' blockades of food coming in, because they don't want it getting into the hands of their opponents, the Houthis.
Food from charities?
Yes. Oh. Wow. Yes, from charities. So the idea wasn't to block charities in particular, but they're just blockading anything. Everything. From getting in. So this also then includes food, and because of this, the small amount of food that is there isn't affordable. There isn't enough, and it's also not affordable for the average person on the average salary in Yemen, which is pretty horrendous. So yeah, strangleholded food, fuel, aid, and commercial goods as well. So yeah, the fighting has escalated massively over the last few weeks, and the Red Sea port of Hodeidah. Probably saying that wrong. Hodeidah.
Sounds good.
And 80% of the country's imports flow through this, and they've blockaded that port.
Bloody hell.
Which is pretty horrendous. So it's pretty bad. There's people, the citizens have been saying they can't go to sleep. It's torturing them, and they're worried about their children, and because it's been so horrendous at the moment. I mean, I know we've touched upon it briefly before, but the situation seems to be so much worse than people even initially thought. So it's just, it is really horrendous. They say there's a perfect storm of conditions that have driven the country to the brink of famine, which is horrendous. Health centers, there's not enough medical supplies, certainly not enough food, and these barriers are being put up all the time, which is distributing the food supplies and means that they can't get food into the country. The kind of what adds to this is the fact that Britain and the US are supporting the Saudis at the moment. They're also selling arms to them. Just makes the whole thing worse, because they know about these figures, they know about the stats that these children are dying, yet we're still supporting this government for financial gain, as opposed to helping. They're giving a lip service and saying that the civil war should stop.
That's what they do.
In fact, nothing is being done.
Like, do you know what? You can actually take action if you really want, if you really care.
The opposite, in fact. In this case, don't take action and don't sell our arms. Because our Prime Minister, Theresa May, did something, I think last month, she signed a deal.
A new deal,
and Trump did as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was the biggest deal in American arms history, like $100 billion over the next 4 or 5 years or something.
Yeah, the timing's crazy, considering that this is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the timing's crazy anyway.
It's crazy anyway, but it's crazy that I think... At least I didn't know about this until very recently.
Yeah.
It
pops up, but I think it opens up the wider question as to why things like this aren't reported on our news.
Yeah.
And yes, there are I don't know, terrorist attacks and stuff and shootings, which of course garner interest because they're in Western countries. I mean, the UK, we get a lot about US shootings as well.
We do, yeah.
Fair enough. Because it's the state of
when France was attacked,
society.
We talked a lot about that.
Exactly. But it seems to focus on the Western world, maybe because it's similar to Britain.
I imagine that's it,
But in terms of where our focuses should be lying, it really does open up almost a question about ethics in the media and what they should actually be covering.
Interesting, because you mentioned terror attacks, but there was a big scandal just last year, I think, in Britain at least, where it emerged there had been some really terrible terror attacks in Pakistan, I think, and Africa, which we hadn't covered on our news. Yet we've gone all overboard when like a couple of people have been shot in America, which is obviously still a tragedy, but there's nothing on the scale of these terror attacks in Asia and Africa, which we just ignored as a country.
You never see a Facebook change your Facebook profile theme or whatever to support terror attacks in the Middle
East.
Very
true.
Support the victims of these terror attacks.
Support the victims of the terror attacks, not
I put an Al Qaeda flag on my Facebook profile all the time.
So it's a pretty dire situation at the moment. The UK have paid lip service saying that, civil war must stop, but nothing's really being done.
Do something, do something.
It is currently a death sentence to hundreds of thousands of children in Yemen. And it doesn't seem like much is going to change soon, I'm afraid to say.
And the thing is, it's happening not because of the actions of like a terrorist organization. This is the Saudi government blocking food from entering the country for such a, there's so much collateral in this, even if it's about them supporting, not wanting the other side to get the rations or whatever, the amount of people that are suffering, innocent people because of this decision, it's just an evil decision, isn't it?
Yeah, evil. Is that a war crime? Pure evil. That must be a war crime, right?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
You'd think so. And also with the power and the might that they've got.
Yes.
It's not like there are other ways they can't destroy
Yeah.
Other, yeah. You know, their opponents. It's
absolutely.
It just seems like punishing everyone.
They're a big, powerful, influential nation, and they should act responsibly and not so callously towards other people. But it's interesting because it raises questions. Obviously, the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962, a big part of the resolution to that from the American perspective was the blockade of Cuba, stopping anything getting in order to persuade the Russians to get rid of their nuclear missiles there. But I'm sure history smiles upon that decision. As it happens, it was a very short blockade, very short blockade.
Yes.
And there wasn't much suffering in Cuba as a result.
Yeah, there wasn't 85,000 children dying in 3 years in Cuba.
But imagine if the Cuban Missile Crisis hadn't ended in 13 days. What if that blockade had lasted for 20 years?
Yeah.
In fact, technically, I think it did, didn't it? The quarantine of Cuba and U.S. diplomatic relations with Cuba didn't stop for a very long time.
True, but I mean, I guess in the Yemeni situation, as I say, the average Yemeni person can't afford to buy food, and they're not growing enough food.
No, it's terrible.
It has to be imported.
Yeah.
There's no other way. So, I mean, what do you think? It's pretty obvious what should be done, but do you think that there will be steps made in the near future to prevent this suffering? I mean, will there be international pressure?
I mean, honestly, with the news story about that journalist, Khashoggi, who was...
That's true.
Likely killed by the Saudi on the orders of the Saudi government, and then even with the international backlash about it, there was still the decision of governments to kind of unilaterally can't say that word
to just, mean.
To just say that this was really bad, but hey, $100 billion, it's really good. So
you got oil.
That's what it actually comes down to.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that the US and the UK and France and Germany and other powers, they're the ones who shape opinion, like world opinion, on what should be done.
Yes.
Especially as, well, members of the UN Security Council as well.
Yeah.
Hold a lot of influence. So if they're not putting their names in that, you know, if they're not putting their names in the hat to help out, who is? That's the issue. Who is? There's no reason for them.
And it's kind of
saying, no reason for Saudis to stop, in their opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of giving them permission almost by...
Yeah, tacit approval.
Exactly.
That chiding a child. Like, you did a very bad thing, and that's all they've done. Mm. They haven't restrained them, they haven't stopped them.
Now, please buy my guns.
Yeah.
And then going back to the previous point about kind of influence of the media and what they should be covering, then are the governments shaping the media so that they can avoid that kind of scrutiny?
Ooh.
Kind of links back in, you know.
I think it's one of the downsides of the free market when it comes to media, especially in the West, because we have free market media, is that intentionally or not, and I think unintentionally a lot of the time, the media overlooks things to the convenience of governments. You know, it focuses on the big stories that distract from the real stories, and it ignores the real stories sometimes, and sometimes it misses the real stories. Sometimes it doesn't say anything at all about anything remotely interesting or important. It just kind of covers the X factor or whatever.
Mm.
And that's because in the free market, they have to pursue the audience. They have to look at the figures in order to earn money.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, obviously you don't want a state-run media, because then you get a potential China situation or any other government, where time and time again in history, state-run media has proven to be abused by the government. But at the same time, maybe there's a benefit to having some kind of media that isn't beholden to the market, so that they can independently, if they have a guaranteed income, they can just say, right, we're going to tell the stories that matter. Obviously, maintaining
who's the income,
where's income coming from?
Regardless of the stories that get the clicks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think just to follow on from that, there's kind of a selfish element to it. I think it's like you want to know the stories that affects you, and if the primary audience is people in the West, then sadly, I don't think en masse they care as much about what's going on in the Middle East as what's happening in the UK and the US.
There was a terror attack in Malaysia a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, which kind of made the news but barely did, because a British tourist was killed, I think.
Yeah.
And as it happened, the daughter of someone I know was in that place when the terror attack.
Oh, God.
But she left the day before. because she got food poisoning and the local hospital couldn't treat her, so she got flown out. But she was hanging around with the British tourists. Now, she didn't know the person who was killed, but she was in that place.
Yeah.
So she would have been there when the attack happened if she hadn't fallen ill the day before. Point is, I was shocked when I heard that story about this person who I'm connected to. But I was only able to relate to it at all because a British person had been killed and therefore it had been on the news.
I could have been there. Yeah. Syndrome.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's the other thing to note is that where do a lot of political correspondents get their news from?
Mm.
It is from the government directly. Mm. So in terms of scoop, it makes sense to, be in the government on side for your news stories if I'm thinking about it cynically.
It's such a tightrope, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As a journalist, you've got to keep the government friendly so that you can get access to the stories, but at the same time, you don't want to be seen as a lackey.
Yeah.
Unless you're on Fox News, in which case.
Otherwise, you'll just get your your White House press pass revoked, won't you? Jim Acosta style.
Yeah. It's back now, isn't it? It's reinstated.
It is back, yeah. Although Trump has given the press a set of new rules to follow, basically.
Don't report what I say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I kind of almost half sympathize. Like, I think the rules were basically if someone else is talking, don't interrupt, that kind of thing.
But that's fair enough.
But the thing is with the press is they want to follow up on a question. If they're just not if they're giving non-answers, they want to follow up.
Yeah, shouldn't be shut down just because you're saying something that someone doesn't particularly like.
No. And the rules kind of disregard that and make it impossible for journalists to do that now.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see whether they actually abide by the rules or just ignore them.
Yeah, but the thing about the rules as well is Trump interrupts the reporters all the time. You know, if they're asking a question
really
that he doesn't like,
to watch a press conference with
it's really painful, isn't it? Yeah. So if he abides by the rules as well, then it might be okay.
I'm sure he will.
So I wanted to get on to talking more widely about the media, which is great.
Yeah.
But the overall situation in Yemen is pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible. Yeah. There must be some. Please look it up. I can't recommend any right now because I don't know. But there are charities out there like Save the Children doing good work. So if you're interested in helping out in the Yemen situation, then please look it up, find out what you can do.
Absolutely. We'll put a link in the description on YouTube as well. So
You can find out more information. Yeah.
Cool.
I want to talk about something a little bit more optimistic.
Good.
Looking to the future.
Nice.
At first, I was afraid this would be an obscenely brief news item, but actually, I'm glad it was because that discussion went on quite a while. And it's about NASA. And NASA have announced, and Trump, good old President Trump, has signed the order to allow them to go back to the moon and set up a base.
Quality. That's exciting.
It's very
exciting.
That's exciting. And to quote them, NASA says that they are returning to the moon to stay, and they're going to go beyond the moon to Mars.
So how are they going to fake it this time?
That's going to be interesting, isn't it? Like, if they actually went to the moon and stayed there, it would be interesting to see what that does to people who believe they faked the original moon landings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Seeing HD 1080p footage of the moon, people running around and stuff.
GoPros on the moon.
What's that going to do?
That would be awesome, actually.
That'd be pretty cool.
POV shots of someone jumping.
Cool. I mean, obviously, CGI is much better now, so.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
They got Stanley Kubrick before. Who would they get this time?
Christopher Nolan.
Probably, yeah.
It's. It'd be funny, though, if if they send all these people to the moon and you've got a constant stream of astronauts changing places, they wouldn't be astronauts, would they? They'd be whatever they're called, moon dwellers. And all this footage comes back and it's all still grainy and like staticky.
Yeah. Well, you only have to look at CCTV footage. You're like, how is it not good by now? It's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's been around for 30 years.
Decades,
or more.
Yeah. But no, I get that. I mean, it'd be great if this is the beginning of an actual kind of roadway, so to speak, to the moon, and you could go there on holiday to the moon base. How incredible would that be?
It would be
I imagine it'll all be set up probably after we've died, but our potential children or grandchildren could be going to the moon for a holiday.
Maybe.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that is the right decision. I think that is the way. I know companies like SpaceX and Elon Musk is really pushing for Mars, But I think the moon, going back to the moon, is probably the right step, as much as we kind of want to bypass that and just go, no, land on a planet.
It's the safest step as well, right?
It's the safest one. But also, the benefits of doing it are amazing, because you can mine loads of precious chemicals and minerals from the moon.
Great, you've already gone to the strip mining. The moon will be a black lump by the time humanity is finished with it.
But there's quite a lot of I think the challenges with overcoming making a habit on the moon, I mean put it this way, it takes what, like 3 days to get to the moon compared to months and months journey to Mars. I think making a base on the moon will be the perfect practice a base on Mars or something.
And then presumably it might be easier to get to Mars as well. And this is what NASA's talking about, because gravity is lower on the moon, so you don't have to, don't need as much fuel, right?
To
launch off the moon.
Exactly.
And presumably you're slightly closer. Marginally closer.
Yeah. But quite a lot closer.
I mean, one thing that would definitely come up is this a good use of taxpayers' dollars?
I'm playing
devil's advocate. I'm playing devil's advocate, but there's so many issues at the moment.
That's true.
US and around the world.
But this is what happened back in the 70s, isn't it? This is why we haven't been back to the moon since 72, at least officially, is because they decided NASA and space exploration was not a good use of taxpayers' money. And NASA's budget has, in real terms, been cut every year quite a lot, and been cut the most under Republican governments. So it's interesting that Trump is bucking that Republican trend. NASA does say in this press release that they will be working with partners to do this. Obviously, that's a lot of money still going to be spent on behalf of the taxpayers. But I know, I read that phrase, with partners, and I feel a bit nervous, because I feel like as much as government wastes money, time and time again, when government contracts out to private business, a lot more money seems to be siphoned off.
Yes.
And
goes to the shareholders.
Goes to the shareholders. And obviously that's the way the system works, and so it's legitimate, but it's still kind of like those millions and sometimes even more dollars could have been spent on something a bit more worthwhile.
That's true.
The moon, sponsored by Castrol.
Yeah. You'll look up every Christmas time and you'll have the Coca-Cola logo.
Pepsi wanted to do that, didn't they?
Did they?
Way back when. I can't remember exactly what they wanted to do, but project their logo onto the moon or something crazy.
Project it?
Yeah. That was a story, right? I'm pretty sure.
Pepsi? I mean, it sounds plausible.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
I just want to know how big the projector is.
That'd be crazy to see from Earth.
Well, that sounds like a question we get on the weekly quiz.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, segue.
Very good.
Nice segue there.
Yeah. No, I've got the quiz this week.
You got the quiz.
After beating Alex 5-2 last week. Sorry to bring it up, Alex.
Alex is a serial loser. I think he's won one. Is that correct? Maybe two.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe two. No, I'm joking.
Who's counting, really? Who's counting? We're all winners here.
Evidently not me. You guys will just go back, listen to our previous episodes, and be like, actually, Robin, Alex has won 5.
I definitely haven't. I think I have just won one.
Okay,
well, maybe two after this.
Maybe.
Ooh.
We can hope.
Okay, it's quiz time. Guys, show me your buzzers.
Okay, so I go first.
Yes. Yeah, I do. Go on. Okay. Alex, what's your buzzer? Traditional,
standard.
Like it.
Yep.
Robin? Nice Wilhelm scream. Fantastic.
Nice.
Okay.
I need to get a fancy buzzer.
You do, actually.
Like that one.
Exactly.
Okay, question one.
Okay.
Who would be older?
Charles Darwin.
If they were alive today, Hitler or Stalin?
Oh.
Who would be older?
Stalin.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Stalin was born in 1878. Hitler was born in 1889.
Huh. 11 years. I didn't realize there was a big gap.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, 1-0 to Robin.
It was an easy one. I could have got
it. It was a 50-50. It was.
Okay, this one, it's not closest. It's not who closest wins, because it's a very exact year.
Okay.
What year was the attempted assassination of Reagan?
Go on, Robin.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
1981.
Correct.
Are you serious?
Are you going to say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
Were you actually?
Huh? Yeah, definitely. No, I wasn't like a decade off.
Yeah. Okay, 2-0. Very well done.
Thank you.
Question 3.
Okay.
What is the capital of Bulgaria?
Ah, this is yours.
Sofia.
Correct.
Oh, yes. I did know that. Well done.
Thank you.
Very good. Have you been there?
No, I haven't actually.
I have.
This is nice.
Oh, you've been in
Yeah,
Sofia.
I didn't stay in Sofia. I just got went to the airport. Well, I'm doing the way back.
Not many fellas stay in Sofia. Tend to get out before.
Filthy. Disgusting.
No, I went to the airport and then just went up into the mountains in the summer. Beautiful place.
Nice.
Yeah. Are they very tall mountains?
They are. Oh. It was like a ski resort.
Oh, right.
But
right,
I went there in the summer, so no snow for me. But it was lovely. Very nice. Very Sound of Music-esque.
Let's go.
Okay. Question 4.
Mm-hmm.
What's the population of the world at the time of writing this quiz?
Ugh.
Closest wins, by the way.
7.2 billion.
I mean, I was going to say 7.2, so I'll say 7.3.
It is 7.6
billion. Oh, wow.
Wow, it's going up quite
exploding. Or to be precise, 7,665,151,939.
Wow. That's quite specific.
Yes.
Wow, 7.6. We are doomed.
It's a lot of people.
It's a
lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, 3-0. Alex, you got up your game.
No, 3-1. He's got
3-1.
Sofia.
Sofia. Sorry. I just assumed you got it wrong.
Oh, I see. I'm becoming the laughing stock of these quizzes.
No, never.
Okay. I'm going to bring it back.
Okay. Question 5. A Japanese man spent £14,000 marrying blank this week. What was he marrying?
Spent £14,000 marrying
blank.
His digital girlfriend.
No, close, but not quite.
Oh, close.
Did you say Japanese man? I mean, is it like a body pillow or something?
No, it's not. Do you want one more guess or do you want a clue?
I'll take a clue.
Clue?
I always like a clue.
Okay. There's a very popular conspiracy. Well, not popular. Well, very out there. A very far-fetched conspiracy, including the moon, that involves this.
Oh.
I was going to... Oh, why did I do that?
What are you going to say?
Just marry the moon.
He's not marrying the moon.
I'm so desperate.
And he doesn't have to spend £14,000.
I'm guessing you mean a hologram?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. This Japanese man is marrying a hologram and spending £14,000 on the privilege.
Wow.
So, is it the ceremonies costing him £14,000?
Yes.
Or the hologram costing him £14,000?
I think it's the ceremony.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think he already has the hologram.
That's crazy.
A hologram of what?
Of a girl.
I guess he saves a lot of money on the wedding dress and...
Yeah, such a program.
Food, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Are the guests, are they divided his and hers?
Nice.
I hope so.
I mean, I hope he's happy. Yeah, I mean, I hope she's happy too, but I'm guessing she's not AI. But if she is, I really hope she's happy.
I'm sure he'll regret the money spent, surely. That's a lot of money.
I mean, if you managed to save up 14,000 quid, I've never had that much. I wouldn't mind spending it on something else.
Yes, exactly.
Get a better hologram.
Yeah.
Get another hologram.
Yeah. Get an interactive hologram who's like a physical thing and human.
Just also,
so you're saying pay for a human, Robin?
No. I mean, yes. But
you
also
might
no.
win the quiz.
But I'll never win life.
Okay.
Neither one's got that one.
It's 4-1.
Oh, I did get one.
Oof. Alex, you got some work to do, mate.
It's not looking good.
Okay. So another closest two. And this one's quite personal.
Okay.
Not to me.
How long
to
is Alex? What?
Almost.
Robin is correct.
How many... How many videos are currently live on All-Time Conspiracies at the time of this quiz?
Oh, nuts. I'm going to optimistically say 220.
Oh, I was thinking like more than that.
Oh, really? I didn't think we made that many.
You said 220?
Yeah.
It's been 5 years.
221.
Actually, it has been 5 years.
221.
Yep.
I'm not even sure if I can give either of you the point. 641.
See, no.
Whoa, okay. That makes...
No, you said closest wins. I would have gone... Yep. I was going to say like around 500.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
No, I mean,
you do get you get the point.
When you think about it, we make at least two a week. So that's over 100
for five
a year.
Years.
I should really have thought about that more.
Yeah. But yes, well done, Alex.
Thank
for
you.
221.
Technically, I get the point there. So
only 420 off. very good.
Wow,
okay.
We've been doing this a long time.
42. Question 7. Black Friday is a manic, greedy turd of a day. My words. But why is it called Black Friday?
Oh.
Because it's the day that companies' accounts go into the black. Finances go into the black.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And what does that mean?
It means they're in profit.
Correct.
And not in debt.
Well done. Very good.
Da-da. Da-da-da-da.
See, I genuinely need
five,
that one.
Two,
I feel like
Robin.
I'm being a bad loser right now.
Yeah, I thought you'd be straight in there.
So Alex, you need to get the next three in order to force a tiebreak. Okay, question seven.
Okay.
Eight. No, question eight.
Question eight, yeah.
When was Facebook? When was Facebook launched?
Darcy.
Genuinely don't know this. I just had to take a guess. 2003
closest wins. What month?
Oh. What month?
Closest wins.
Oh wow! So you got the year.
I'm gonna say March 2003.
It might not be the year.
See,
I'm just
in all honesty, I was gonna say like April 2006. So
Alex is closer.
Yeah,
it's February 2004.
Oh,
nice. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's been around for 14 years,
oh,
almost 15 years.
Yeah,
it's gone quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 5-3.
Ooh, he's catching up.
Back.
He's catching up. Yep.
Okay.
Definitely.
Question 9. Which US state has the higher population in 2017, this is?
Yeah.
New York State or Florida?
New York State.
Florida.
It's Florida.
No!
It's Florida. It's very close. New York has 19,849,399
yeah.
people, and Florida has 20,984,000.
Oh, it's very close. Very close.
I thought it was going to be a trick. That's why.
I would have gone for New York, but then you.
But then you
it.
Didn't.
That time you should let me buzz in.
Okay. Oh, so that's 6-3.
I don't really
understand.
That doesn't count.
6-3. You don't have a chance of winning, but we'll carry on.
We'll carry on.
Question 10. Just to show your knowledge. Yeah?
Okay.
What's the. What's the world's most venomous animal?
Oh,
venomous animal.
Oh, hmm.
Well, I mean, I know a. I don't know if this is actually true, but it's one of the kind of rumors, isn't it? So I'll go for it. Is it a daddy long legs?
No.
Have you ever heard that though?
No.
I've heard rumors that it is very venomous, but doesn't have enough venom to actually hurt you, kind of thing.
Oh, I no idea.
I thought
Which
it was going to be
know.
Like a little trick like
I assume that.
And it doesn't matter anymore because I've already lost. So
I assume that there's got to be something to that, hasn't there?
Yeah.
But that's not what I've got down.
I would have guessed one of those tropical frogs, you know, where you touch it and you die.
That's probably.
I mean, disclaimer, as we know in the past, what I've got written down isn't necessarily right.
Actually, all the answers to this quiz
are slightly off.
Slightly off.
Turns out it was the daddy long legs.
May well be.
I never heard that about daddy long legs. I'm going to have to look that up.
No, it's actually the box jellyfish.
Oh, right.
That
makes sense.
There we go.
That makes sense. It was, yeah, I was going to say, was that the thing that killed What's-His-Face? But no, that was a stingray.
Stingray, wasn't it? Mm. Steve Irwin.
That's his name.
Steve.
Yeah.
And was that venom? I think that was just got stabbed through
in the heart.
That's not that funny, is it?
Well, no.
Actually.
Oh, there we go. So that is
6-3.
You can have a tiebreaker if you like, just, you know,
yeah,
fun.
For fun.
It's
quite
British centric and is maths involved.
Okay, sure.
Okay. If you had one of every British coin denomination in your hand, how much money would you have? And we're talking about standard coins as opposed to
coins
five.
Only, not notes.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, not £5 coin.
£3 89?
No.
£3 88?
Yes. Correct. Well
yeah.
done. Very good.
Well done. I'm nowhere near that.
And that's the quiz. That's the real quiz.
Well done. Oh, thank you, Martin.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was a good one.
Thank you, guys.
I think I clawed some dignity back with that
you
last
did,
question.
You did,
maybe?
You did.
That was quick.
You had me on the ropes for a bit. I was worried.
Don't patronise me.
I was worried. But then he gave me Florida, which is not fair, really. Yes, thank you again. I enjoy our little chats, little get-togethers, and I hope you're at home or on the train or on the bus, wherever you are listening to this, enjoy it too. As always, thanks for listening. If you want to find our other episodes, you can find them on iTunes and Spotify and Audioboom, and there'll be links in the description on YouTube. And for those of you listening, thank you for listening. For those of you watching, thank you for watching. See you next time.
See you later.
See you later.